Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to Change Hackers, where we are mastering change in all areas of life. I'm Melissa Ruth, your host, coming to you from Houston, Texas, on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. The sun is shining and it's overcast over here, so that's kind of nice. In case you're new to the show, I am passionate about truly helping others, and I believe that true help comes from learning the keys to embracing change and then making the best of the challenges life presents us. When I started this show, my goal was to interview people who had to deal with change and learned to rise above it. It's my hope that this show is helping you find a way to find victory in your life. If you have not heard any of my previous shows, well, I encourage you to go back and listen to them. You can find them at my website, melissaruth.net. That's one L, two S's, the Ruth like the babe, .net. And, or the easier way, go to Facebook in the group called Change Hackers. And also, you can call into the show at any time to ask questions by dialing 646-716-7979. And we'd love to hear your questions. So listen, my guest today is a dad coach, an entrepreneur, an author of four books, public speaker, a radio show host, and the founder of Dads for Life, an international non-profit that helps folks connect and live a life with purpose. His name is Dr. Keith Jowers. Welcome, Keith, and thank you for taking time today to chat with us.
Well, welcome, Melissa, and I appreciate you being with us. No, I appreciate you having me with you this morning or this evening, whatever it is.
All right. That's awesome. So listen, we know each other, but for the benefit of our listeners who haven't met Dr. Keith yet, let's spend a little bit of time talking about who is Dr. Keith Jowers. So share a little bit. I'm going to stretch you a little bit just to kind of set the stage a bit. So share a little bit about what life was like for you when you were young. Say, let's just start, you know, at elementary school time frame.
Well, thank you, Melissa. I was the baby of four boys. We actually lost one of my brothers right before I was born, and he passed away, unfortunately. And so there was three of us left, and I was the baby, as my mom always affectionately called me. And I said, I'm the youngest. She said, doesn't matter. You're still the baby. And I was actually, you know, grew up in a middle income family. My dad owned his own plumbing company, and it was huge in our city. It was growing so fast, but then life happened and things started happening financially. And So the business started having issues, and my mom went to work and tried to help reboost that a little bit. So I was left home with a sitter a lot right after I get out of school. When I say a lot, I mean I'd get home from school in about 2 hours. So I was with a sitter before my mom got home. So, but then, unfortunately, as things were going on through school and something happened around that, age 11, which actually was the first part of my life changing forever. And that was a very difficult time, which actually was part of that change in my life and why I decided to head another direction. And that's because my dad had passed away one night right behind me. I was 11 years old, and he was 40 years old.
So super young for you, super young for him, and a surprise for the whole family, I'm sure. A shock, really.
It really was. My mom, you know, adjusted the best she could. I was the youngest, and she was taking care of me. My brothers were older, and and pretty much on their own so far. But we just had a difficult time getting adjusted to that back in the 60s, and there wasn't a lot of money. There wasn't these huge, you know, term policies that people can get today. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just very little money. So I went to work at age 12 because I couldn't go to age 11. I couldn't go deliver papers, and I started delivering papers and helping mom with household income.
Wow. So very early on helping with that responsibility. And you and your older brothers were, I mean, older. So they were almost out of the house, or were they still in the house helping as well?
Yes, one was almost out of the house and one was in overseas in the military. He came home for the funeral and everything, but he had to go back. So he was much older. He was like 10 years older than me. And then my other brother was 5 years older than me, but he was about ready to leave the house at 17 years old at that time. So.
Wow. So I mean, that was a rough time, I'm sure. Let's talk a little bit about seeing beyond beyond your current struggles. So when you were 11, before your dad passed, did you have any dreams or aspiration at that time, or were you just focused on, you know, day-to-day kind of living?
No, I had dreams. I was actually a young comedian. I got in trouble in school a lot in elementary. my teacher wrote a note home to my dad or my mom one time and said, Ms. Showers, I think your son should be a clown if he ever should get out of school in the circus. So she comically wrote back and said, well, that would be fine. He'd be keeping it in the business or the family because his grandfather is a clown in the circus currently. So
that's great.
So I guess that's where I was getting that from, that humor and that, you know, kidding around. But then, you know, I just basically grew out of that wanting to be a stunt man in Hollywood. So I used to jump off my mom's roof and do flips coming down and
come up like
I was fighting and all that stuff. And I ruined, I damaged a couple of discs in my back doing that craziness. So when mom said, are you on the roof again? I said, oh, that might be them squirrels, mom. So, but anyway, yeah, I was a card.
I can just picture your mom dealing with that. Okay. It's funny, you know, when you're young, you identify with the teens and the kids, and then you get older, you're like, oh, that poor mom.
Exactly.
So how did your dreams and aspirations of life or picture of what life was going to look like for you change between elementary school and, say, high school, the end of your high school days?
Well, growing up without a dad, no one ever mentored me. Nobody guided me. You know, my brother's doing their own thing, basically staying busy with life. And then my mom, she was working very hard, trying to help us survive, help me survive as well as her. Of course, I wanted to go to work, couldn't. Yet got this young paper route, sold a lot of papers, got a lot of new customers. And we just continued to try to just make it, right? So as I got older, I said, well, Mom, I'm 16 now. I'm going to quit school and go to work full time. She said, no, that would be over my dead body. And I said, well, Mom, that's not going to happen. So I'll get back to school. Got back, got plugged in, finished high school. It was a huge high school graduating class. I was really wondering, but I didn't finish at the bottom, didn't finish at the top, but I was very comfortable towards the top. So anyway, when I finished high school, I decided I'd go to college because it was paid for, and I quit. Yes, in my freshman year, I quit college. Aww. And I wanted to go to work and felt like, you know, the working time that you could put into work would help make all the bills that you could possibly, you know, incur. So,
oh, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, you know, that's just the so-called whatever life dream. And you know, it's just an American dream, but it doesn't always pan out that way. Bills still kept coming. It seems like the more you make, the more bills you start making. So anyway, so I quit and went to work and I paid off all the things that we were needing to pay off. And then all of a sudden, I thought I wanted to get married. I met the right lady and got married. And after 3 years, a divorce came about, but we had a 1.5-year-old daughter. And that was the true pinnacle of my life where I said I would never, ever turn my back on my daughter, and I didn't. So Well, Melissa, with the two things, you know, two life-changing events was my dad passing away and being a young divorced dad against my will. Those two messes became the ministry we call Dads for Life today.
Well, and that's great. So you were focused on, you realized, I picked up on this, you said, yeah, the marriage is, I wish the marriage had continued. It didn't, but my daughter's not going to pay the price for that. So you
absolutely
chose, instead of focusing on that negative, you changed it and said, okay, now I know what I can do. So that's gone, but this isn't. I love that because I think it's a common theme, by the way, in almost all of my shows, that is what I've heard, is the way that they got through it was to focus on the positive aspects of that change. So let me ask you this question. Did you go through a time during that, say that transition from married father to divorced father, or even the transition from, you know, having your dad and then learning to live without your father, did you go through a time where you experienced maybe some depression or an inability to see beyond the current moment? And if so, how did you get through it?
Oh, no, it was a cakewalk all the way through, Melissa, on both of those situations. Not, right?
I know. right.
Let's go back to being a young teenager. You know, I really wasn't a fighter or anything like that. I had anger issues, but I didn't really take it out on other people. But then a couple of bullies thought that I was really that kind of person. Then they realized that wasn't the kind of person I was, because, you know, once you're cooking in a pressure cooker and you shake it sometimes, it can explode on you, right? So mm-hmm. I started learning to take care of myself a little bit better, you know, but trying to be somebody my mom would be proud of, right? So as
again,
I went through
that positive.
Absolutely, focusing on the positive. But as I went through, all I did was think about work. When I was not at school, I was thinking about how I can make money to work, right, to help mom. So as I got older, out of middle school into high school, things eased out a lot. People started liking me a lot because they knew I was just somebody to get along with, but I'm also somebody that's not going to take stuff, you know. So anyway,
right.
So I worked through that. But as I continued to work through that as a high school student, I would work. And I'd get out of school. I found out there was a class I could get out at 12 o'clock. I'd get off at 12 o'clock, go work to 9 o'clock, go play drums from 9 to 5 in the morning at two different places. So, I mean, I was working all weekend. Well,
wow.
And then when I decided I'd get married, I thought that was the route I should be going when I got married. And then the divorce came along. Then my daughter, I wanted her to know very, very young that I was going to be involved in her life as much as I could. And because, you know, divorce decrees and all that stuff, you know, you can only do so much in the early beginnings, but it worked out to where we could do a lot together. And we did. But as there was those times, I can't say that it was perfect. In any one of those times, you have to come to a decision that you are here. My wife today, 30 years this year, by the way, actually in 2 months, 30
wow.
years we've been married.
Congratulations.
And, you know, she's been a godsend to not only to me, but to the ministry and to our daughter. But she's amazing. She says, well, you know, you are where you are. So, We can't sometimes be somewhere else when we are forced to be at the place we are, right? You can only do
mm-hmm.
what you have. So as a young boy without a father, and then trying to manage that built-up anger that was starting to be, because dad wasn't there. I was making all these decisions on my own, but I worked through them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to a couple school counselors, but it was nothing really involved in my life. And then as I got married and then divorced, I had to work through those issues. But I was a little older, and I could seek out mentors, or I could seek out people that are going to help me. And one of them was, Dr. James Dobson. I learned from him during that difficult time in the early 80s. I learned from Jim Rohn. I learned from Zig Ziglar. And Zig and I became known of each other, friends. And he was an amazing guy to work with. And eventually I spoke at his organization one time. So, see, you have to – yeah, you just have to see. You have to see where you're at and see how can you make your situation better so you can help somebody else's situation better.
So one day at a time, one thing at a time, working with what you have. It totally makes sense. I think we struggle with that. And I had a note in my mind to remember, which was, I think when we're young, we have a tendency to think that we're going to just wake up one day and be where we want to be, right? We're going to have that job we wanted. We're going to have, that happy marriage. But we also have a tendency to think that, fairy tale life, maybe there's not a whole lot of work involved, that we're just destined to be there. So I love to point out and ask those hard questions because I think it's important for us to identify. Without that pain, I really don't think you could be as effective in helping those who are dealing with those same changes now.
Well, you're doing good because I've been on several interviews, television and radio, and you're the first one that's actually started digging into, okay, how did you really come about, I mean, we can have a dream or an idea and start something, but it doesn't come. Sometimes it had to start somewhere, and it might have started it when you were 11 years old, So that's when I kind of say in the back of my mind, did Dads for Life really start at 11 years old, when I was 11, so... But anyway, we're 14 years this year as a nonprofit and still growing. Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, so you talked about working hard. I thought that was interesting. So you said you were either working or you were at school. It's kind of an interesting paradigm shift, maybe, that there might have needed to be more focus on the family rather than work, right? At some point.
Well, I mean, especially as a dad.
And I don't think we paid a lot of attention to the idea that maybe a boy or even a girl who loses their father or mother actually needs others to come around behind them and help them and support them and encourage them, even if they're not looking for it. So that was an interesting aha moment for me, and hearing your story, and of course seeing my husband's story, very similar in that case. All right, so you did the job thing, but tell me a little bit about how you got from the job and the drummer and that kind of stuff to this position of Officer Keith that we see in some of your books today.
Well, That was amazing. I was a troubled kid, meaning that I didn't know where to go sometimes, what direction. Nobody was helping me. But then, it's easily I could have wound up in the backseat of a police car instead of the front. But fortunately, God saw a different way for me. And after I went through that divorce in the early 80s, I had a friend over at the house. We had something happen in the neighborhood, and I think some evidence was thrown out in our yard or something to that effect. And I was over at Mom's, and a policeman showed up, and we started talking, and he was a very communicative type guy. I mean, we just talked about a lot of things. And I said, hey, do you ever have anybody like ride with you as a civilian? He said, yes. So I came and I became a civilian observer. And I was riding so much, I was going like, man, I'm not getting any sleep. I work, I go to school, whatever, I was really trying to get interested in police work. Well, sure enough, 2 years later after that, I was already been through the police academy as a reserve officer where I wasn't getting paid. And then I realized some months I'm putting in 80 extra hours of my life into police work as a reserve volunteer. So I said, and they were starting to know me. The sheriff knew me. I mean, everything. I was starting to get around. So then I said, I got to get paid for this. this is too much. And I went to the full academy and paid my way through it and went to school. I was going to college as well. I mean, it was just crazy times, just trying to get back into school type thing. And went to the police academy at night, worked in the day, had a couple of college courses I was taking. And then all of a sudden, before I realized it, I'm graduated the police academy. So now I can apply for my license with the state of Florida. And I did, passed the test, got on the police department, a smaller police department, and worked for them 4 years before I came part of a huge agency here in Jacksonville. So, it was just amazing. I didn't realize that part of my career, my 30-year career, 18 years, would be influencing kids And I just enjoyed that so much.
It's great hearing you talk about that. And I feel like keep talking about it because I can hear in your voice how much you loved it and the passion you had for the change you were able to instigate in others and the way you were able to support them. I love that personally because I don't think we talk enough or put a face to those that are actually in the armed forces and in our police force. We don't know them personally. A lot of us don't. And so I love that. I love that you're passionate about it. I also think, so if you were to go back to your 10-year-old self and you had said, you're going to be a police officer one day, I wonder how you would have reacted at 10 years old.
Well,
if you ever thought that was a possibility.
I think I was, it was really kind of something that was in my mind. I wish I had done it a lot earlier. I would have dealt with a lot less trouble that I went through in trying to find myself, my purpose or whatever. So, but I used to enjoy it apparently because I knew when a policeman would come by with his lights on, with siren, he's going down to a neighbor's house. Somehow I had to jump on my bike and just go down there, you know?
I
was just curious.
It was in your blood.
Right. So, but anyway, it was interesting. Yeah.
So you did that for 30 years. At some point, did you write Officer Keith while you were a police officer, or did you do that after?
Yes, I'm sorry. You did ask about that. I need to get back to that. Well, Officer Keith was a kind of a character in the back of my mind. When I retired, I thought I would just do my own private officer safety programs because I enjoyed doing that. You've got to understand, I was involved in kids from pre-K to college. Okay, I worked with every grade level over some point of that 18 to 20 year period, and I was excited to work with these elementary kids because I could get down. I mean, I did magic with them. I kidded around with them. I clowned with them. I got down on the floor and talked to them. And, you know, of course, every boy wants to know if I'd show him the gun, you know, for some reason. And I said, no, I can't show you the gun. So then we'd get into these conversations. And say, why? You know, and then I'd be talking to them about gun safety and that kind of thing. So, but I enjoyed that. So in the back of my mind, I told Glenda that one day I'd like to maybe just write this book, you know, and because I'm tired of, and what really set it off was the media is just raking the police across the coals. And yet if they get in trouble and somebody's coming after them or breaking in the house, that's the first they want to call is the police. Right. But they just think all police are not what you're seeing on the news. I mean, yes, we make mistakes. We're human beings. And I don't know one human being's never made a mistake. But the thing is that you can't just say all police are bad. That's like saying all teachers are bad or all preachers are bad or whatever it is. You know, it's we make mistakes, yes, but in some, they go a little bit beyond what they should be doing. But if you get up every morning, you have that purpose in life, you go out, whether it's a policeman, fireman, whatever it is, and you know that that's going to be your day is directed and mine's directed. I try to get them directed by God every single day of my life. I go out and I try to do that. That's why I think I was successful at what I did, simply because I involved myself with kids and their lives. I got real in their face and I talked to them. And I didn't want to lose that. There are some officer-friendly books out there, but there's not a lot of them out there, like self-help books. But I wanted to just write, you know, it's not, I'm not saying my name. I just, you know, like Officer Keith, it was just kept coming. That sounded good. I was asking a few people, they liked it, you know, so that's what we called the series. And we just released our second book. The first one is Meet Officer Keith, and the second one is Officer Keith and His Canine Friends. And I talk about canines and how they serve people. And they even talk about how you can be safe at home with your own personal family pet, because I give tips in there through my friend, April Castellano, who is actually working as a dog trainer. So I love the police work, and to be honest with you, if I could do it today, I probably still would, you know, after retirement. Mm-hmm. But you know, it just working with kids is so important, and that's where the whole Daily Connections is our other book. Listen, that's how that came out, is because I helped parents connect with their kids during school when they had issues. So
And if you've ever had a teenager in your house, you've all experienced the how was school? Fine. And
exactly.
No idea as to where to go with that. Okay, otherwise change that into a conversation. Or do I, right? So true.
Well, in our Daily Connections book, it's kind of a journal, so parents can kind of think about their own situation. You know, I talk about common ground and where to find more time and scheduling challenges. I think you may have even seen a copy of this before, so you know how it works. It's kind of a little short chapters of a few pages, but then gives the parent some jogging time of their memory. Okay, how can I make this connection with my own child? So, it's just so important to connect with your children.
Yeah, those bite-sized idea with the information you give really does help to kind of focus your day as to how am I going to invest and be intentional with my children rather than just go about life, go to work, come home, eat dinner, go to bed, deal with all those chores. So, listen, we're at 12:25 Central Time. So, Change Hackers, in case you are just tuning in, you are listening to Change Hackers, Mastering Change in All Areas of Our Life here on Coach on Fire Radio. I am Melissa Ruth, your host, and I'm here with Dr. Keith Jowers, who you have just heard about who he is and what his passions are. So now this is my favorite part where we begin to see the results of those changes. We've talked a little bit about those books, and you've mentioned a few times, Keith, about Dads for Life, but I want to jump into what is its purpose and what is it doing from a global perspective. Before we do that, if you're listening in and you want to call in with your own questions for Dr. Keith, you can do that by calling 646-716-7979. We would love to have you on the show to ask your questions. All right, so let's jump in. Dads for Life, you said it started with a passion. So share a little bit about what was the thought process 14 years ago? How did Dad for Life come about?
Well, Glenda and I had been working with families at church and teaching finances, and we had done several classes. I had also done a divorce recovery workshop. I had done several things, and she had done several things, and together we had taught Sunday school. We had done a lot of things together, and then so we created this organization called For Life Resources, where we were showing resources to family, helping them build resumes for their careers and so forth. We were back and forth doing different things with them. So one night we were talking and we were sitting at the computer, and I said, you know, I've helped a few dads. I just think I'd like to, you know, help dads somehow formally, and I don't know how to do that. I don't know what to do. And I said, all I want to do is help a dad for life, and to be involved in his kid's life and so forth. Well, about that time, I had already started working and talking to four different single dads, divorced dads. So that's how the number four came into our organizational title. Our logo is Dads Number Four Life, and our website is .org with that same name. So I didn't realize that working with a few dads would turn into 14 years later, you know, well over 20,000 on the internet. People, you know, find us on Twitter, Periscope, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever it is. But then again, I'm a guy that grew up with a rotary phone, you know. So I mean, I'm the one that didn't understand all this, how it works. But then Glenda, this was kind of her forte in school or in her work career, and so she's kind of merged everything together, and here we are. And you know, I thank God for the results we're having. And now we're continuing to grow, and I do a daily broadcast on our Facebook page at Dads for Life. You have to make sure it's us. There's others out there that use that name, and even though we're trademarked, but we are still building the brand, and it's growing all the time. And I think parents really want to be engaged in their kids' lives. Somehow they just don't know how. And that's when we become a resource center to work with, just like the vision entailed 14 years ago. I wanted to be resources, and that's what it's entailed, Melissa, is that we are now a resource center where we can help parents go to this organization or that organization. It's not about all of us. It's about how can we help filter you out to somebody else, you know. But we are a nonprofit, and we do have to earn income, you know, or to try to bring money in to help it continue paying the bills. So now we've started in August because I have a lot of people that follow me that are not dads. So our focus is dads and fatherhoods, but our message is for the entire family. So we're beginning a new community in August called On Purpose, and folks can join that for a monthly fee, and we're going to be working with them directly and as a team trying to help folks find their purpose. So we're real excited about that.
That's awesome. You know, it's funny you say August because I just looked at the calendar just to make sure. Someone told me this week that August was less than 2 weeks away, and I was like, what? How did it go this far? We're already into August, so I'm excited to see.
Oh, did I say this August?
It's coming, man.
This August.
I'm looking for it. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's
you know,
around
it comes up on us so fast. So, we're all like, oh, it's not till September. I got time. The joys of being busy in this world. So,
I mean, here I was just talking about. I was just talking about Christina being so young, you know, after the divorce, and here Glenn and I have been together, married 30 years now. So, I mean, time flies, doesn't it?
Oh, I know it. I know. Even just a week goes by. And I think you're right. So it was interesting you said your initial vision was four dads, and now thousands around the world. And not just in Florida, around the world, right? So What I'm getting to there is I think you have a heart for there are thousands more. There are millions more parents out there who are struggling to figure out how do I make my life different? How do I engage with my child? Or even, and I talked to a lady this week who said, my daughter is in her 20s and she still lives with me and I'm trying to figure out how do I get her out, but how do I help her, you know, so that she can get out. And so it's such a big and important message. So right now I know there's someone out there who is wishing their life was different with their kids. Maybe they aren't their parents they want to be, or the kid isn't listening, whatever the case may be. What would you say to them right now?
Well, you know, every situation is a little different and depends on how they got there, why they got there. But one thing's for certain is that they are there. And where where can they change? I would say start changing with yourself. And some people say, well, there's nothing wrong with me. I go, well, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you, but I know in my life, even as an adult, as a matured adult, as they call us, right, we should always look for change. I consider myself a life learner, and I want to learn every single day. So how could I help a parent? If a parent called me after the show and just told me that, I would just say, you know, let's start with you. Let's look at you. I know that you've got these situations with your child, and it may be a 25, 30-year-old child, right, that's at home. But you want to help yourself grow so you can give them goals. They've got to have goals. Mom and dad, you know, are only here for a season. You know, I talk to parents about, you know, our children are gifts from God, okay? And at some point, the gift giver is going to be gone. What do we leave? What is our legacy? What are we leaving as a legacy? So we have to work on ourselves. If we have weaknesses, and we all do, you know, I talk about the mirror test in my teaching. I talk about the ripple effect in my teachings. And the mirror test, basically looking in there and saying, okay, how did I get to where I'm at, and why am I here now? What can I do to change that? Because if you start changing yourself, you start changing the person within, then you're going to be able to help somebody else. And that is if you work on that one thing, maybe your child grew up and you cussed them all the time, you know, because of your anger issues that you never worked out. Maybe you tell them don't drink and, you know, they see you drinking all the time. And maybe that's some of the issues they're dealing with. Whatever it is, the thing is over time, they are truly in our byline and our logo is that because they follow our lead. They truly do.
Even if it's not obvious, they're going to follow us.
That's right.
For sure.
So I would tell that person, Melissa, I would say, listen, start today with where you're at. Make a list of things that you can work on to make yourself better. But you know what? They don't want to hear what you're going to do. They just want to see it. But they also need to know that you made a mistake. They also need to know, and I've had parents apologize to their kids. I've had parents write letters to their kids. You know, one of the most important or the most influential interviews I've ever done on the Dad Connection was with Garth Callahan of the Napkin Note Dad movement. Here's a man years ago when his child was in elementary school and he decided to put an encouraging note in her lunch bag. She takes it. She reads it. She didn't understand that, the movement that it was about to take, but that she come home and she thanked him for it. And the next day or later in the week or something, a few days later, there wasn't a note. And she didn't leave for school until he had a note in that bag. Well, that movement, that suggestion, and all he did was writing encouraging notes, encouragement, not just, oh, you're going to make it today. I'm talking about some heartfelt notes. And then Garth gets sick, and then Garth is told that he might not live. And he, every night, he said, when his daughter went to bed, he wrote a napkin note of encouragement to his daughter for 800 and something notes that were left in her school years.
Wow.
Just in case something happened. And do you know, it's become two books now, and now they're looking to do a movie over it. I mean, it is amazing what one little bit of an encouragement can do. So I would tell a parent that's in that situation, Melissa, let's encourage your child. Let's talk. Let's say something positive. If you've said negative all your life, say something positive. And I know it's kind of late.
That one saying has. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I was just saying, it takes. I love lag. Yeah. Technology today.
Well, all I was going to say was that the internet is not their total source. Teach them morals, teach them values, because I don't care how many degrees you got from Google University, real life happens. And life went on long before ever the internet was invented, and it will go on long if something should ever happen to it, you know. The truth is, build relationships, make the connections every day, because it's important.
Definitely. So deal with what you have, and do what you can, little bits at a time. So that's a good point. So when you see how much change you need to make as a parent, or at least for me, I know that I have a tendency to do this. I see all of the things I've done wrong and all the things I want to fix, all of them. And it's very easy to get overwhelmed. But what you just said there was, you're going to have an end goal, but you need to do the little things that you can do every day and not, not focus on the big one necessarily.
Yes, I mean, my problem growing up, Melissa, is that I looked at the whole picture. I tried to figure out how my life was going to be when I was 12 and 13 years old because, you know, my dad died. I was going to take care of myself, you know. And that's, be honest with you, that's probably why some of the issues I've had over my life is I tried to do everything myself. But I also care about people. I realized I can't change somebody. All I can do is give them advice to do it. And I didn't ask for help when I was younger because I didn't know I was supposed to ask for help because I should have been guided by a father or a father figure, right? So as I got older, I realized there's got to be somebody. There's got to be somebody. And then, you know, Zig comes along, Jim Rohn comes along, because then people are out there. And that stuff is all free today. I paid for most of my education with them, you know.
For sure. I know. Your first interview, I know you're a radio host there on 108 Praise Radio, and I remember your first host was Zig Ziglar's son, right? Or was
Son. Tom Ziglar. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And
so that brings me to an important question, Keith. I got to ask this question because I think it will change some people's lives. Are there any specific habits that you have embraced that you found most helpful in dealing with life as a parent and all of those changes?
Consistency. Total consistency is a good habit to be involved in. That means I tell them, you know, I told my daughter as much as I could when we were involved as single, you know, I was telling them that I was going to be able to be in her life somehow, some way. But if I was never there, I wanted her to remember that. I wanted her to know that I loved her every single day. And I would tell her that. And I'd wake her up every morning singing some goofy song or something, you know, because she remembered that. And now she's singing the same type of goofy songs to her daughter and her son. So
passing it on.
Consistency don't work. It does work, right? And then now that they think it's goofy, you know, but the kids love it, right? I said, well, that's funny because I remember when. So consistency is so important. That's a good habit. a bad habit is telling them you're going to take them somewhere, and consistently something happens where you can't take them. You know, we're going to go fishing, we're going to go to camp, and we're going to go to the ballpark. And then every time the child knows not to look for it because something else comes up. You know, I have a calendar. I'm old school. I don't put everything in my electronic calendar. So I write down, you know, I encourage parents to write down on a calendar, okay, ball game Saturday with Susie or whatever, right? So because that's so important to be consistent and doing it on purpose.
On purpose. Yeah, well, that's what I hear. I heard intention, or intentional, having a purpose, an end goal in mind, and being consistent. Wow. That's great. All right, so that was the one thing. You talked a little bit about what you're doing in August. How can people get involved? How can they connect with you? You said, you've already said you're on social media. The website is Dads for Life, but are you available to come and speak?
I am. Dadsforlife.org is our website, by the way. That's the number 4. I am available. Come speak. It's case-by-case basis, you know, when it opens up. And I try not to turn down any invitations simply because I want to get the message out. And hopefully if I can encourage one dad or one mom somewhere, you know, then some child is going to get encouraged. And that's my focus. That's what I really want to do. So, I am available that. I'm writing 2 new books. Hopefully in the next few months, those will be completed. One is Honoring Your Dad, about dads that have passed on. If folks have a story they want to submit to dadsforlife@gmail.com, they can, to be actually in that book about their dad, honoring their dad. And it's not to just spill laundry, it's actually to honor your dad, you know. And then I'm writing one called Lessons from Your Grandfather, because I think we're losing telling our kids about their history, their grandfathers, what you might have learned from them, because they didn't have internet, most of them, you know.
You're right. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just good stories. And so, I'm speaking. I'm writing some more. We got this On Purpose group that's starting on our Facebook page, Dads for Life. We have a Facebook page, but then it's a paid membership. It's going to start, but it'll be on our website hopefully by midweek of this coming week. So, and that's just helping people find their purpose, Melissa.
Being intentional and finding what they need to do next. It's so true. It's funny you say that about dads. I learned a very important thing from my father. When I was growing up, I was being a young girl. They don't really expect you to work out in the workforce as much. And so I would watch my dad, but not really see it as something I would do. And that was, he would come home from work and he would walk around. He said, I need to go have a chat with the trees. The trees, I need to help them grow. And he would go out and walk the trees in the yard. And I never quite understood what he was doing until I started working in the workforce. He was like, don't bring your work home with you. Focus on the kids.
I love that. That
you
sounds
go
like a story.
It's great, and I don't do it well, but I do remember that. But you're right, because it's even more complicated because we're now not growing up around our grandparents. You know, they're miles away or not nearby, and so we're not getting those connections and passing down those stories. That's for sure. Hmm. Certainly important.
You know, I do love the technology today when comes to video chatting. You know, our granddaughter and grandson, they can actually do that. They call, you know, mom gets them on, and we can see them and talk to them, you know. So I do enjoy that part of it for sure. So, but I certainly believe that we can learn something from the history. You know, when I talk to some students in the past, and they don't even know their grandfather, they don't know who they were or anything about them, I think it's important that we know where we come from.
For sure. Definitely. So how do people get their books? How do they get your books? Are they available on ebook or audiobook, or where do they go?
Yes, they can go to Amazon and just check us out on Amazon.com. Just type in my name or you know, one of the titles, and or they can go to our website and actually click on there and find out more information. So, but we're out there all over the net, and they can reach out to us. And you know, I appreciate it. It's everything goes back into the organization, so you know, not like we're you know, we just want to make sure that we are doing everything we can. But when we do that electronically anymore, things cost money, so you have to support those.
Right.
So when we start this group in August, you know, everything's going to come back and go back through that organization and just keep supporting people, you know, keep helping dads and moms. And even had a young 22-year-old I was talking to recently that never had a father grow up, you know, but he wrote a book to him about it. So it just you never know who I'm going to come in contact with. So I do appreciate this opportunity being with you today.
Yeah. So that brings up a good question. That's an interesting one. I'm thinking about, my mind is going with the whole concept of writing a letter to your parents or even your grandparents. I can imagine he learned a lot of things by doing that. I'll have to reach out to him. All right. So you've written a couple of books. Four books you have. You're writing a couple more. I got to ask the question. Do you have a favorite book of yours?
Outside of mine, you're talking about, I guess, right?
No. Out of the ones you've written or the ones that are coming that you have, are there any of yours that are specifically dear to your heart?
Hmm.
More dear than the others.
I think you know, I love the Ultra Key series, but I think the one that's going to really stand out to me and is going to be Lessons from Your Grandfather, because I just wish I had him around. He was there a little bit, the best he could, after Dad died, which was his son, but they had lost three children, and my dad was the third. So that was very difficult, and that shouldn't happen in life, but the way he handled that was just amazing, you know. But I think that's going to probably be the top one. I didn't know my dad long enough, I don't think, even though, you know, I know that he did some good things. But my grandfather knew him longer and actually had to be there the day he passed. So that was interesting, too. But you know, my overall book, obviously, is the Bible, where we can learn things so much from the history of the Bible and seeing how your life kind of fits into all that.
Yeah, I'm sitting here picturing, you know, all the different things, all the different turns that your life took and all the different paths you could have gone. And I'm personally glad that it took this path because I can see how much it's touching other people's lives. Someone asked me recently if you could take everything you've experienced in the past and do it differently, would you? And I struggle with that because I think today, if I hadn't gone through that, but then I wonder, what would I have been? What other things would I have gone through? Very interesting. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I've worked in workshops and told people, you know, if they'll just write something out that they don't like about their past, write it out on a 3x5 card or whatever. And if we have the capability to do it at the venue I've been at, or either just tell them to take it home and do this. But you take those 3x5 cards and let's say you write on there, you know, anger issues, or you write on there, you know, dependent issues, drug issues, alcohol, whatever it is, things that you don't like, take them out there, you know, say a prayer and throw them in a burn pile or the fireplace or whatever. And understand that if it's in the past, you know, it's, you have to remember that it's not where you start that counts in life. It's where we finish. Are we going to finish well? If we're still working on some stuff, just keep working on it. I consider myself a life learner, and I want to be learning things till the day I die. And I tell you this, once you take your last breath, you're definitely going to learn something new. One way or the other. But if you also have a dream, a vision, something that you want to do to help somebody, just keep building it. Just do it a day at a time, even though it don't look good, even though you think you're going to fail. Failure is only just something that happens. It doesn't have to be a lifestyle. But, you know, just keep doing it. And I say go out and encourage, enhance, and enrich the lives of others, you know, but make sure you start with your kids because they truly need it the most. And let them know that that home is always the safest place for them to be.
That's so true. I was just talking to a guy, and he was talking about how he works so hard so his family can have everything that they need. And it occurred to me as I was listening to that, he truly believed in his heart that not being around his family but providing them for everything that they ever wanted was what his purpose was. So what would you say to parents who are doing that currently?
That is, I'm sorry, what was that?
The ones that are so focused on working so hard that they're never home because they're focused on providing everything that, you know, my kid's going to have everything that I never had kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Now I hear you. All right. So I would just say that that's important. It is, that's your goal, but always make sure that your children know that's not the only thing. You know, the thing is you've heard us say, you know, when you pass away, you're not going to take it all with you, right? And I have dealt mm-hmm. with people, or I've been to, in fact, you know, I went to a funeral earlier this morning. But when you go to funerals, you know, there's never a hearse following that. there's never mm-hmm. a U-Haul following the hearse, right? There's never, you know, a bunch of gold and stuff around the casket. There's not, because you can't take the stuff with you. The thing is, you have to teach life skills. And when I talk about teach legacy classes, or I teach, you know, I try to get parents to think about, do you even have a will? Do you have a will? Do you have things taken care of? So if something should happen, because things happen every single day. I've been to funerals of children, and I've been to funerals of people that are 100 years old. So, but it doesn't matter what age you are. When it happens, it happens. But are you, as an adult and responsible parent, are you taking care of your family after you're gone? Are you building a legacy far beyond treasures? Are you building a legacy that builds value and teach them how to handle themselves in public and teach them people skills and all that? Are you doing that? Because those things are truly important, regardless of what we turn on the television and see on the negative news sides. Every day you can learn how bad our world is. But truly, you know, Gandhi had it right. He said, if you want to see a change in the world, be that change. And so as a parent, you have to understand that, yes, those things, if you want to give nice things, work hard to do that. But never, I mean, like my son-in-law called me yesterday. We were talking yesterday. It was amazing. He said, Dad, I just had the day off, and I want to tell you that Judah, which is his son or our grandson, he said, we're out for a water park day. You know, he could have mowed the grass or done anything. He just went out, and he does that with his daughter separately, and he does it with his son separately, and then he does it together with them and build those family values. So it's important to take time to do something that's going to last, not just do something for, you know, at the moment.
Oh, so life is not just about right now.
No, ma'am, it's
very
not.
True. I'm writing a speech right now, and it was interesting because in the speech I wrote down all of the different transitions in my life. And if I had thought of things, how things were at that time and had expected it to be now, right? This is all my life is going to be is what's happening right now. I would have lost out on so much.
Yes, you would.
So, do you have any events coming up soon? Are you speaking anywhere?
I'm not speaking anywhere currently that I know of, unless my wife does. But I don't have anything on the calendar pressing. I know that. I am doing something extremely important next weekend. Extremely important.
Yeah.
It is high on my list, and that is I have two grandchildren waiting on us to arrive, and we'll spend a few days with them. So, and then somebody said to me one day, well, you're going to start a grandparents for life and a moms for life? And I'm like, wow, yeah. But it makes sense, you know. We just have to be involved at whatever age we are and whatever our role is. But the main thing we're working on is the on purpose group that's starting in August. So we're excited about that. So you can see, catch us on dashforlife.org. You'll see more information about that. Hopefully in the beginning of the week, we're working on that this weekend.
That'll be great. Yeah, and then again, you're on live on the Dads for Life Facebook page at 10 o'clock every day, or Monday through Friday?
That is correct. Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time, on Dads for Life Facebook page. We've built a community there as well, and we're excited about just the different teachings that we're doing there. But then the On Purpose group is going to be far beyond, more in depth than what I do right there. So we're excited about getting this off the ground and fine-tuning it to reach people so they can, or we're going to reach and teach others so they can go out and do the same for others. So we're excited about that.
That's awesome. I heard a saying once that you are the product of the five people you are closest to.
Yes, that's true.
If you don't like who you are today, you might want to look at who you're surrounding yourself with. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's true.
So
we have just 4 minutes left. So with those 4 minutes, Keith, can you share with the listeners one thing, and I think we already did this once, so we'll do it again. One thing that you want them to walk away with, one habit you want them to put into place after listening to this show.
Well, as an entrepreneur, first of all, because I've done a lot of that as well, and take care of your business, whatever it is each day that you have to do, just do it. You know, if you have 25 things to do, write down the first five that are so important to you that they've got to get done, and then just circle three of those. Get those three done, then worry about the others. The other thing is that if you are building a business, don't forget your customers. You know, they're so important. I think customer service is so important today. But as a parent, that's what I really stand for, is trying to help parents. As a parent, I want you to know that your life is so important to your children. Even no matter what the role is right now, it could be divorced, you could be not seeing your kid for a while, you may be incarcerated or had been incarcerated, you lost touch with them, whatever it is. Start today and think, and just ask God that, what direction that you could go in, maybe to reconnect if that's what you want to do. But don't think that every day, just because you have a bad day, if you have a bad Monday, doesn't mean Tuesday's going to be the same. Every day is new. We get a fresh start each and every day, Melissa. We get a beautiful sunrise each and every day.
That's awesome.
It's raining or cloudy. So we get a fresh start each day. So find out where you're at, where you need help. If we can help you at dadsforlife.org, you reach out to us here. You can email me at dadsforlife@gmail.com or reach out our website. On Purpose Group might be for you because it's helping you find your purpose. And if you already know that, it's helped fine-tuning that purpose with a lot of life-minded individuals that are going to be there to help you do the same. So I appreciate your time today, Melissa. You've been an awesome host. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, I am so glad you were able to join us as well. I just really want to be able to share these things. I feel blessed to have met. I've met quite a few people in the last year that really have changed my life and my structure and how I build my life, just to be intentional with my life. And I'm passionate about that. You can tell, right?
I can.
So with that, we are out of time. So Change Hackers, you've been listening to host Melissa Ruth with guest Keith Gowers here on Coach on Fire Radio. I just really thank you, Keith, for being here. And I'm looking forward to hearing from people how much the show helped them. So to all of my listeners out there, whether you're listening live or catching on the replay, I really hope you enjoyed the show. We'll join us again in 2 weeks. On August 5th, I can't believe August is already here. If you haven't seen it yet, check out our group on Facebook. Just search for Change Hackers in order to keep updated on all the show updates, including who my next guest will be. I'm excited about that. So thanks again for tuning in. This is Melissa Roop, Change Hacker and Consultant, signing off. See you all next time.
Bye-bye.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want.
Coach on Fire Radio.